Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm here today with our guest, Connie Durham, to talk about confident communication, and specifically the roles of emotion, perception, and personality as it relates to how we communicate. During this program, we're going to talk about how our emotions color everything we do, our top emotions and why understanding them is so important, how our emotions affect our work and ministry communication, the role of personality in communication, and exactly how to see things from the perspective of other personality types, how perceptions affect our communication with family, friends, and associates, and also the power of awareness in communication and how it can radically improve our conversations and connections. Our guest today is Connie Durham. She leads the women's ministry at her church and has served for 21 years in a leadership position with a direct sales company, winning 7 diamond rings, 2 company cars, and hundreds of prizes. She is a certified speaker and trainer with the John Maxwell team and the CEO of Connie's Clever Concepts, empowering couples and families with relationship-saving communication skills and concepts. You can learn more about her at her website, which is Connie's Clever Concepts.com, and also over at womenspeakers.com, where she's available to speak at your next event. Welcome to you, Connie. So excited to have you here with us today.
So glad to be here, Maureen. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And this is such a great topic that I think all of us can always use help with, because communication is day in, day out, and ever since the Tower of Babel, we've all kind of just struggled with this.
And literally, we don't think about communication. We just keep going without even thinking about it, right?
Okay, yeah. So why did you pick this as your kind of specialty, area of specialty?
Well, in 2004, I had gone to a class on DISC, D-I-S-C, yes. And that is your communication styles. And I'd heard a little bit about it before that and used it in my prior business. But when I went and became certified in it, I became fascinated. It's like I just became aware of something I really hadn't ever thought of before. And so as I became fascinated, I developed a passion for it. And I saw how understanding other people could help people get along better. So often people just don't get along because they don't understand one another.
Absolutely. I remember one time when I was a full-time at-home mom with 3 young children, and my husband was an executive, and he said, come with me on a trip to somewhere. He was going to a conference, and we left the kids with the grandparents. And on that trip, I didn't have anything to do during the days when he was in his meetings, and I got to just read and sit by the pool and rest. And I took with 3 books on personality types, and I studied our family's personalities, and it changed everything. It was so helpful to just really, really understand why they were behaving the way they were and what I could do to help.
And it makes a lot of difference to you.
It really does. When
I went to this convention and I learned all of this, I came home and I had 3 teenagers also, kind of like you right there. And so we gathered in my bedroom, and you know how you get on your knees and you kind of sit with your hands on the bed, you know, like this. And so we were all gathered around the bed, sitting with our chins and our heads, and I started talking to all the kids about the personality stuff. And that's when I became aware that so often people who are alike bump heads, and people who are so far distant, not alike, don't even know what to do with each other. And it really, really helps you understand your teenagers and your children. And it's that old story of, you know, all kids don't need the same thing from us.
That's right.
They're real independent. Some need a little extra love and care, right?
And communicated in different ways. So let's start with this concept of emotion coloring things.
All right. So first of all, there are 4 different emotions. And one of them is no emotion, right? And so when you're dealing with a person who does not show any emotion, they have that blank poker face. And you think they're not feeling anything at all, but they do. They have feelings, definitely. They just don't show any of their feelings, so no emotion. And then the next one is that person who shows every bit of emotion on their face.
Yeah.
And that is me. My husband and I can be driving along in the car, and I'm not talking anymore. He's like, well, you know, everything okay? You're not talking, because I'm always talking. And if I'm quiet, he'll say, what are you thinking? And I'm like, can't I think in peace here, you know? But you can see my face shows emotions of whatever I'm thinking. I just can't hide anything at all. So, and then there is the emotion of the person who their top emotion is anger. Now, this is a really hard one because it doesn't matter whether you are at home, you know, it's your spouse. It doesn't matter if it's your teenager, if it's your coworker, if it's your boss. If their top emotion is anger, then when they get hurt, they're mad. If they're stressed, they're mad. If they're hungry, they're mad. And I'd like to tell a little story about my little grandson when he was 2 years old. I was watching after him one afternoon. We were outside playing, and he fell on the concrete, and he skinned his knee. Well, when a little kid skins their knee, their first thing is what?
Cry, scream.
They cry. But instead of crying, he got up and he brushed off his knee. He's just 2 years old. And he brushes off his knee and he is mad. He is mad that he has skinned his knee. And he's angry about it. And I just found, you know, knowing top emotions, how that does color everything, I found that very amusing, you know, to see that.
Amazing.
So, you know, you have that top emotion of anger, and that's probably one of the really hard ones to deal with. If you have that, and there's so many good things about the people who have that top emotion, but if you have that, then you have to really watch your responses, because very quickly your response can take you down the wrong road. And so you might be one of those people, not you actually, Marnie, but you might be one of those people, or you might be working with someone or married mm-hmm. to someone. Mm-hmm. And if you can understand that it's really not about you,
right.
because you know, we take it personal if right. somebody yells at us or somebody's angry with us, and it's really not all about you. And that kind of helps soften yeah. it a little bit if
right.
you understand that, right?
Yeah. So I heard three. What's the fourth one?
Fourth one. So we have anger, we have non-emotional, optimism. And that's actually the person who shows everything on their face.
Okay.
So that's actually number three. So optimism, the person who is actually, and that's the emotion. Optimism means that when something happens with the person that has optimism as their emotion, their top emotion, then they always think of the best thing. So maybe something really terrible has happened, and they think of whatever is good or a good outcome that's going to come from that. And to a person who might be a pessimist, then that's pretty irritating, right? They're always coming up with something good whenever the situation is bad, right?
Yep.
The fourth emotion is that tendency of fear. Mm-hmm. And this fourth style, when anything is coming up, they tend to be a thinker. And so they're always thinking about what could go wrong. And it's, you know, they don't do it on purpose, but it's fear. And so that doesn't mean that they are actually afraid of everything. It just means that they're fearful something's going to go wrong. They're not afraid of everything, but they're fearful something's going to go wrong. So when there is something going on, they see everything that can go wrong.
Yeah.
So you see how that really colors everything. It colors whether you're going to see it in a bright, you know, you're going to see a bright light, you're going to see a dark light, you know, whether you're going to see a red light because you're mad about it, or if you're just non-emotional and you just don't think anything about it at all.
Wow, that's crazy. And I haven't really ever thought like a person could be non-emotional. I guess it didn't occur to me that that's a certain temperament type or whatever.
Yes, totally. And so they're very, really hard to read.
Yeah.
So if somebody is non-emotional, they're very hard to read. And they also don't get upset very often.
Right.
You're like,
steady.
Absolutely. And you think, you know, you were just in a restaurant and, you know, you were served a cold steak and they'll never return that cold steak. They just go ahead and eat it and they don't let it bother them. The emotion with anger is going to be like, my steak is cold and I need my steak for a hot steak, right? So it really does, it colors everything. And the person who's not emotional, they're going to get embarrassed if you draw attention, you know, to them and that kind of thing. So, yeah. Whether you're a kid, teenager, or an adult, you know, whatever your emotion is, it colors everything.
So as we go forward now, and this is, I've never heard it explained this way. And I've done so much personality study and work, and I've never heard it explained exactly like that. So that's really cool and very eye-opening, really. As we go forward, communicating with the people in our lives who are more of a different emotional bent than we are, then how do we actually like bring this into the conversation, into the relationships?
Well, I think that the first bit of conversation we always have to have is with ourselves, right?
Because, you know, not bad, just different.
Never come with our finger pointing at the other person. And so our first thing we do is we stop to think about, who am I? And what is my top emotion? Do I react to everything? How do I react to everything? You always have to be careful when you're looking at someone else and talking about how they act, right? So one of the things you could do is you could get a book and read on the personality styles. Now, there's a lot of different ones out there right now. I personally use the DISC method, and that is DISC. There's a lot of different ones, and they're all very similar. Mm-hmm. I found it, you know, easiest to understand. And because people have one top style. They may have a secondary style, a little bit of a third, but some people are really high in one area, and that's another story, right?
Yeah, right, absolutely. So what would you say the role of personality is in communication, and exactly how can we see things from the perspective of other personality types?
Well, some people are very direct, and so people who are very direct, they are going to tell you right like it is. There again, you may get your feelings hurt sometimes, or you may love having a direct. Some people are indirect, and those people who are indirect may be telling you something that they want you to know, but they tell you in such a roundabout way that you don't even know that they told you this.
Yeah.
And I am direct myself. I am direct, but I am carefully direct, around the bush direct, not that straightforward, just telling you like it is. So I'm direct, around the bush direct. My husband is very indirect. And that means that he never tells me like it is. He always sugarcoats it. It's always sugarcoated. And I'm going to kind of sugarcoat it because I want it to be nice. But he sugarcoats it in such a way that he might not tell me what I need to know. So sometimes whenever somebody sugarcoats things too much, you can't really rely on them to tell you what you need to know.
Right.
You need that direct person that can do that. Now, here's what happens. If you get two people who are very direct, if they've had a good upbringing, then they've learned how to use their directness and they can work well together. But if they're very direct and they haven't had a good upbringing and they don't know how to handle the top emotion of anger, then they may have a little bit of trouble in working together, because guess what? Each one of them wants to be the leader. And I remember one time we were preparing for a big dinner, and I used to be with Mary Kay Cosmetics, and I was a sales director with them. And so we were preparing for a big dinner, and it was like four different sales directors come together, and our whole unit was going to come and, you know, come to this dinner. Well, our husbands came to help us. We held it at our church, and our husbands came to help us. And so you had four directors Right?
I can hear where this is going.
Directors, and we're saying, well, let's put the chairs here, let's do the tables there, and we'll put the line there, and we're doing this. And then you're getting different directors giving directions. And, you know, many husbands are also the leaders in their home, right?
Yeah.
Well, but these husbands, they knew with the four directors giving directions, that anyway, one of the husbands said, you know what? I think I'm just going to be quiet because there's a lot of chiefs and not very many Indians. So too many chiefs.
Yeah.
So that can happen when you get two direct people together. They can have a little bit of challenge. But really accordingly with people who are direct, they're usually leaders because they step forward when others mm-hmm. kind of step back, mm-hmm. you know, and you need those people. So you need those people. And truly a team of people, you know, whether it's at church, you know, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, a team of people is really formed from all the different styles.
Right.
Yeah, you need all the different styles. You need the people who follow easily and those supporters, and you need those people who are leaders and will step out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, even when you think about the indirect people, if you get them together, then what happens is that nothing happens. So you have, you know, I mean, there's pros and cons. And I love how God has created all this to be body life, where when we work together, it really works well. And there's a lot of strength there. You can get so much more done than you could if you didn't have all the personalities. But along the way, you do have to learn to be nice, play nicely, right?
Yes. And let me say one thing before you go to the next thing is, I was working with some guys who created web pages and all of that. And one of the guys, he and his wife were that easy personality style who were both very indirect. And as we were talking about all the things, he said, oh, that's why when I go home and we want to go to dinner, we can't decide where to go to dinner because,
right.
you know, I'm easy gone and she's easy going and we're each like want to please one another. And
yeah.
So we can't even make a decision of where to go because
right.
we both want to please one another. So
yeah.
there's
yeah.
your point on that.
Right. So how do the perceptions affect our communication with others? As, you know, we have these different ways of approaching our lives, our conversations, how we funnel things through our mind. You know, you have the optimist who everything's great and you've got the angry person who everything's really a mess. And, you know, you've got all these different things. So how do we actually, how does it play out in such a way in our families and with our coworkers?
Well, I think that, you know, that old thing called the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. Well, it really is true, but there's a but in there.
There is.
Because what I found out that sometimes I would work with a very strong, direct person, and what I thought I needed or how I wanted to be treated was not always the way they wanted to be
right.
treated. And so sometimes you do have to pay attention to who you're working with and what they want from you. And I had just said to somebody the other day, who was having some challenges in their marital relationship. And that person had been a very strong person. They were very strong-willed, very much a leader. They were very confident. And then there had been some challenges in life where they had been pressed down a little bit. You know, some things went on that kind of pressed them down, kind of, you know, took a little bit of their confidence, kind of load up that directness, and they started to become a person who asked questions of their spouse and mm-hmm. asked for approval, looking for approval. And, you know, the strong personalities don't look for approval. Mm-hmm. They just step out and they go for it.
Right.
They don't care what everybody else says. They're not going to listen to everything everybody else says. And I had to remind that person of who they had been
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, if you live with a strong-minded person, a very direct person, they don't want you to be weak.
Hmm.
They don't want you to be weak. They want you to be strong and confident and make decisions. And, you know, that same concept could be at work if you work with a very strong-minded person at work, you know, sometimes you're afraid to step out because you want to make sure you please them or that you don't displease them. But the truth is they want you to be confident, to make decisions, and step out and just do it. They don't want to tell you every step of the way. So once you're dealing with a very direct person, that's an easy way to figure it out. Also, there's the pace of people. You know, some people are very fast-paced, and some people are very slow-paced. I like to say methodically paced, right? Not slow, but methodical paced. And that direct person is a fast-paced person. They think fast. They walk fast. They make quick decisions. And they're really pretty easy to spot. So if you're working with a person like that, they want you to be strong and to make decisions on your own. In the same way, if you have a teenager and they're that age, the same thing. Don't let your teenager, if they're strong-minded, push you around. But one good thing that you can do with someone like that, if it's a kid or a teenager, is give them a choices. Like this, you can choose this or that. Now, sometimes they'll pick the third thing, but if you give them choices, that empowers them and they aren't so frustrated at being told what to do. Although we do tell our kids what to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there is a power in awareness and just being aware of these different ways that we communicate. I'd like to take you back to your days of supervising in Mary Kay. And, you know, that is a company where you don't really have employees. You have subcontractors out there who have their own businesses, really, and they're working for for you. So you're over them, but you're not really their boss exactly. You're more of a sponsor or, mentor type personality. So as you were working with these different personalities, as it relates to indirect sales like that, what did you notice? Were there some that were just like, was there a certain personality type or emotion type communication style that actually did better consistently across the board in Mary Kay in sales?
Well, here we go again. I would say probably that very direct, driven, confident person, right?
Yeah.
But I could speak for myself as I began, and actually that was 30 years ago that I began. And I have to say, I was not that confident. I was a very much busy person.
Developed it.
Not that confident. And so there's really no rule of who can make it in a direct sales business. It just takes getting that encouragement and being mentored and taught to believe that you can do more. So I'll speak from my own point of view on that. So as I began into the direct sales business, my first thing was that I started Mary Kay because I thought, you know what? I love to make people feel good and look good about themselves.
Yeah.
And so I didn't stop to think about whether I was good at sales or good at what I did.
Yeah.
That's when I started. And then my second thing was, oh, how about those prizes? I like prizes, you know? So really, Mary Kay was something that people who started in one place and worked their way to another place, where many businesses, you know, you get hired into a position or you acquire the next position because it came open. Mary Kay was something that people mentored people below them. And so everything that you learned from someone who had already done it. And the thing about the company was they always did the good by people. They always did better by people. So everything was about people and not the bottom line and that kind of thing. So that was filtered through the whole company and filtered through the sales directors. And, you know, nothing's ever perfect because, you know, people make their own choices. But people who could make it in something like that, it really comes down to getting the right mentor, listening to your mentor and what they tell you, reading encouraging books, believing in yourself, focusing on what is good. I like to say that we get more of what we focus on.
Yeah.
And so often we get stuck on the nitty-gritty, picky kind of stuff. And that makes me think about one of the personality styles that we've been talking about today. And that is that style that gets stuck on the fearful thing. They also are very analytical, and sometimes they get stuck on the picky little things and picking things apart, and they forget, you know, what really matters is people, right? We get stuck on the details and that kind of thing. But as far as Mary Kay goes, you know what? It brought me to where I am today because it helped build confidence in me.
Right.
It helped me to learn how to achieve, have friends, support others. Great company. No,
no, I know. Working with womenspeakers.com, I know that a lot of speakers would tell you, it was the last thing I was ever going to do was be a speaker, you know, and that it was a developed skill. And so there's definitely this. Now, when it comes to communication style, let's go back to your two-year-old grandson. When it comes to communication style, if you're an angry communication style, if that's your emotion that you trigger from, does that change? Can you change that? Or are you pretty much locked into that's how you were created? That's just your base.
It's how you're created. Now, the thing is, whenever you have a child that's like that and you teach them, you know, count to 10 before you...
Self-control and different things,
yeah,
right.
I like the new thing. It's called the pause button. You know, just to pause before you speak.
Right.
You know,
right.
Sometimes we just blurt out if we're upset about something. We have to pause and think about what our words are before we talk. And so that little style, if they're taught as a child, you know, how to deal with that, they're awesome leaders. They're great. They're great leaders. But if they're not taught how to handle that frustration and that anger, then it cannot be good.
Loose cannon all over. Yeah, it's interesting. So I think one of the things that I love about personality styles and communication styles and all that and understanding it is that it just is such a powerful tool. I remember, so we had had two children. And I would say, you know, would you go do this or would you go do that or get mommy that or whatever? And they would just go do it. And if they didn't, they were being, you know, pretty rebellious in that moment or whatever, overtired or something. But typically they would just respond. Then we had our third child and I would say, would you go hand me that? And he'd go, no, you know, and he just consistently, no. And I would give him a consequence. Finally, I realized, Connie, that he would say yes. It kind of happened by accident that I would be too busy to actually deal with it in the moment. And what I would find is if he had 30 seconds, he would do the right thing. But it just took his mind a little longer. And I think that that's really the key here, is to just not assume that everybody's just like you or that your children are like each other or that your coworkers or your bosses are all the same. Everybody we'll ever deal with is different and they're coming from their own perspective. And in communication, we have to give space for that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that child that would tell you no, actually he was stopping and thinking and deciding. And
absolutely.
So if they're a teenager, that's good, right? They're going
to
stop and think, decide, and they're not going to care what those friends say. They're going to make their own choice.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's my son that's now going for special forces. So, you know, I mean, you've got, you know, you have these different kids that have different things that they're good at and things that they're going to excel at and directions they're going to go. And you can't see that as a parent when they're little. But you get hints and just to study this. I just love what you do, Connie. You help families, you help couples to actually really understand each other better and to make this communication thing doable in the home. I want you guys to know Connie's website. She's got all kinds of stuff there. Connie'sCleverConcepts.com. When they get over there, what are they going to find, Connie?
Well, on Connie's Clever Concepts, you will find at the top, there are always buttons where you can actually find some things free. Like right now, I know I've got 25 things to help you grow your relationship. And there's simple things that, you know, I might do all the time, but we're all raised in different places and we all come from different backgrounds, different perspectives on things, right? And so there are a selection of things. Sometimes I'm doing a women's summit or I'm involved in something, and you can usually find quite a few free things right there that start to give you a little explanation on personality stuff and how people can get along.
Yeah. So do you do coaching with couples or a group coaching program, or what is it that you actually provide like that?
Well, ultimately, I have a program called Communication Secrets for Couples, because so often, you know, we get married and we are swept off our feet. We're in love with that person. We're attracted to that person. Yep. And then you start living together, and then you start having children. And then there's work and chores and who does this and who does that. And we start to kind of forget about all those other important things that help people get along. And so a lot of my free stuff are things that are just something we all really should know and use. You're like, I know that, but you might not be doing it, right? But the Communication Secrets for Couples is actually teaching you the personality styles and how to deal with one another and how to recognize. And once you start to recognize that your spouse is not doing something just to irritate you, that this is kind of ingrained in them, you know, you start to make allowances. And then you start to learn that you can depend on each other for certain things. Like my husband and I, we make a great team because he's good at some things and I'm good at others. And we've learned to accept that because I have been married for 42 years.
Yay.
I feel fortunate. I feel very blessed because I got a servant. My husband is a servant and very easy to get along with.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, we're coming up on 38 years here in a month. And yeah, and I think that one, what you said there was so important. You not only, so I remember when I figured that Dave was just really being mean and out to get me with certain behaviors, and I finally came to realize that is who he is. It's not even about me at all. It's just who he is. And he would say things to me, Marnie, do I treat myself better than I treat you? And I'm like, no, you don't, actually. But what we come to find out when you're together for a while, and it takes a while to really get to the point, I think, to the trust level where you can kind of experience this, is that you're actually better together. Like you bring so much strength like this together. And Dave and I have done several businesses together. And what we find is that he's like really great at the you know, helicopter, the overview type level, and I'm real good down here in the trees. But what happens is he'll say, get up here with me in the helicopter, and I'll be like, well, you don't understand how hard it is down here in the trees. And, you know, we'll go at each other kind of like that. But as we recognize that this is the gift that God has brought to us, then we can accomplish more together than we could without each other. And it becomes a gift, even though there's still challenges to it. Understanding each other and being able to understand how to communicate with it is just huge.
It is, because we all want a peaceful home, right?
We do. Yeah.
And you know, one thing I would say as we get close to being finished, I would say, you know, one of the really important things is being kind and courteous to one another.
Yeah.
Talking to our spouse, if we practice it, right? Talking to our spouse the same way that we would talk to our friends. Or you're going to talk to our coworkers at work. You know, sometimes we give it all away at work and then we come home and people forget how to talk nice to each other. So if somebody's talking nice to me, then I like them. How about you?
Yeah. Right. And you kind of want to avoid somebody who's talking always smack to you. I mean, that's the thing, is that if you want to have a good relationship, and a lot of it is mirroring, you know, what you do, they're going to mirror back to you. And unfortunately, what they do, you tend to want to do back if they're being cruel or harsh or whatever. You tend to want to respond with that, but you don't have to. It's a choice always. So I just loved this, and I'm so grateful for you and for what you do for people, as well as just for the gift of communication that God has given us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun. You're great.
Well, thanks for being here. You guys want to for sure check out Connie's stuff. Her website again is www.connieskleverconcepts.com. She's also a speaker available to you over at womenspeakers.com, so I hope you'll check that out. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. See you next time.